2, 3, 5, 6. And Lot went out unto them to the door. That this signifies that he applied himself prudently is evident from the interior sense of the expression door and of going out to the door. In the word, a door signifies that which introduces or gives admission either to truth, to good, or to the Lord. Hence it is that a door signifies truth itself, good itself, and also the Lord himself. For truth leads to good, and good to the Lord. Such things were represented by the door and veils of the tent, and also of the temple. See number 2145, 2152, 2576. That this is the signification of a door is evident from the Lord's words in John. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any one enter in, he shall be saved. 10, verses 1 to 3, 7 and 9. Here the door denotes truth and good, and therefore the Lord, who is truth itself and good itself. From this it is evident what is signified by being admitted into heaven through the door, and consequently what is signified by the keys with which the door is opened. But in the present case, by the door, is signified some good adapted to the character of those who beset the house. For the door, Yanua, is here distinguished from the door, Ostium, and was before the house, as is evident from the fact that Lot went out and closed the door behind him. And from what immediately follows, it is evident that the good in question was a blessedness of life, by which he would persuade those who were in falsity and evil. For such do not suffer themselves to be persuaded by the veriest good itself, but reject it. From all which it is evident that by going out to the door, is here signified that he applied himself prudently. 2, 3, 5, 7. And shut the door behind him. That this signifies lest they should do violence to the good of charity, and should also deny the Lord's divine, human, and holy proceeding, is evident from what has been already said. In the present case, to shut the door denotes lest they should enter into the good signified by the house, and therefore to the Lord's divine and holy. These things involve still deeper arcana, into the sense and idea of which the angels come when these words are being read, namely, that they who are in a life of evil are admitted no further than to the cognition of good and of the Lord, but not into the veriest acknowledgement and faith, for the reason that so long as they are in evil, they cannot be at the same time in good. No one can at the same time serve two masters. When a man who once acknowledges and believes returns to a life of evil, he profanes what is good and holy. But he who does not acknowledge and believe cannot profane. Care is therefore taken by the Lord's divine providence, lest a man be admitted further into the very acknowledgement and faith of the heart than he can afterwards be kept. And this on account of the punishment of profanation, which is the most grievous in hell. This is the reason why at the present day it is vouchsafed to so few to believe from the heart that the good of love and charity are heaven in man, and that all the divine is in the Lord. For at the present day, men are in a life of evil. This then is what is more interiorly signified by Lot's shutting the door behind him. For this door was an inner door, through which there was admission into the house itself where the angels were, that is, into the good in which is the Lord. 2358. And he said, that this signifies exhortation is evident from what now follows, thus without further explication. 2359. I pray you, my brethren, do not wickedly. That this signifies that they should not do violence to them, namely to the good of charity and the Lord's divine, human, and holy proceeding, is evident from the signification of doing wickedly as being to do violence. From all this it is evident that those are treated of who are within the church, and that it is they who are meant by the men of Sodom. For no one can do violence to these holy things except one who is in possession of the word. That these things are most holy can be seen from the fact that no one can be admitted into the Lord's kingdom, that is, into heaven, unless he is in the good of love and of charity. And no one can be in the good of love and of charity unless he acknowledges the Lord's divine and holy. For this good flows in from him alone, and indeed into the good itself, which is from him. The divine cannot flow in except into the divine, nor be communicated to man except through the Lord's divine human and his holy, thence derived. From this we can understand how it is that the Lord is the all in all of his kingdom, and also that nothing of good that is with man is man's, but is the Lord's. 2360. That Lot calls them brethren because it is from good that he exhorts them is evident from the signification of a brother. In the word, brother signifies the same as neighbor, for the reason that everyone ought to love his neighbor as himself. Thus brethren were so called from love, or what is the same, from good. This manner of naming and addressing the neighbor comes from the fact that in heaven the Lord is the Father of all, and loves all as his children, and thus that love is spiritual conjunction. From this the universal heaven resembles, as it were, one family derived from love and charity. Numbers 685:917. Therefore, as all the sons of Israel represented the Lord's celestial kingdom, that is, the kingdom of love and charity, among each other they were called brethren and also companions, but the latter, that is, companions, not from the good of love, but from the truth of faith. As in Isaiah, they help every man his companion, and he saith to his brother, be of good courage. 41:6. In Jeremiah, thus shall ye say every man to his companion, and every man to his brother, what hath Yahuwah answered, and what hath Yahuwah spoken? 23:35. In David, for my brethren and companions' sakes, I will say, peace be within thee. Psalm 122:8. In Moses, he shall not press upon his companion or his brother, because the release of Yahuwah hath been proclaimed. Deuteronomy 15:2-3. In Isaiah, I will confound Egypt with Egypt, and they shall fight every man against his brother, and every man against his companion. 19:2. In Jeremiah, beware every man of his companion, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every companion will slander. 9:4. that all who were of that church were called by the one name brethren. See in Isaiah. They shall bring all your brethren out of all the nations for an offering unto Yahuwah, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon dromedaries, to the mountain of my holiness, Jerusalem. 66, verse 20. They who know nothing beyond the sense of the letter, as was the case with the Jews, believe that no others are signified than the posterity of Jacob, thus that they will be brought back to Jerusalem upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, by those whom they call the Gentiles. But by the brethren are meant all who are in good, and by the horses, chariots, and litters, the things which are of truth and good, and by Jerusalem, the Lord's kingdom. In Moses. When there shall be among thee a needy one of thy brethren, in one of thy gates, thou shalt not harden thy heart, and shalt not shut thy hand from thy needy brother. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 11. Again, from among thy brethren thou shalt set a king over thee. Thou mayest not put over thee a foreigner who is not thy brother, and his heart shall not be lifted up above his brethren. Deuteronomy 17, verses 15 and 20. Again, a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, Yahuwah thy God will raise up unto thee, him shall ye obey. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and 18. From all this it is evident that the Jews and Israelites all called one another brethren, but those united by covenant they called companions. Yet as they understood nothing beyond the historical and worldly things of the word, they believed that they called one another brethren because they were all sons of one father, or of Abraham. Yet they were not called brethren in the word from this circumstance, but from the good which they represented. Abraham also, in the internal sense, denotes nothing else than love itself, that is, the Lord. Number 1893, 1965, 1989, 2011. Whose sons, consequently those who are brethren, are those who are in good, in fact, all those who are called the neighbor, as the Lord teaches in Matthew. One is your master, Christ. All ye are brethren. 23, verse 8. Again, whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. If thou offer a gift upon the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother. 5, verses 22 to 24. Again, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye? 7, verses 2 to 4. Again, if thy brother sin against thee, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. 18, verse 15. Again, Peter coming to him said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? 18, verse 21. Again, so also will my heavenly Father do unto you, If ye from the heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. 18:35. It is clear from these teachings that all in the universe who are the neighbor are called brethren, and this because every one ought to love his neighbor as himself. Thus they are so called from love or good. And as the Lord is good itself, and regards all from good, and is himself the neighbor in the highest sense, he also calls them brethren, as in John. Jesus said to Mary, "Go to my brethren." 20:17. And in Matthew, "The king answering shall say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." 25:40. Thus it is evident that brother is a term of love. 2:36:1, verse 8. "Behold, I pray, I have two daughters who have not known man. Let me, I pray, bring them out unto you, and ye may do unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do not anything, for therefore they come under the shadow of my roof." "Behold, I pray, I have two daughters who have not known man," signifies the affections of good and of truth. "Let me, I pray, bring them out unto you," signifies blessedness therefrom. "And ye may do unto them as is good in your eyes," signifies enjoyment in so far as they perceived it to be from good. "Only unto these men do not anything," signifies that they should not do violence to the Lord's divine, human, and holy proceeding. "For therefore are they come under the shadow of my roof," signifies that they are in the good of charity, the shadow of the roof denoting in his obscure general perception of it. 2:36:2. "Behold, I pray, I have two daughters who have not known man." That this signifies the affections of good and of truth is evident from the signification of daughters as being affections. See number 489-491. Their not having known man signifies that falsity had not contaminated them. For man, vir, signifies rational truth, as also in the opposite sense falsity. Number 265, 749, 1007. There are two affections, namely of good and of truth. See number 1997. The former, or the affection of good, constitutes the celestial church, and is called in the word the daughter of Zion, and also the virgin daughter of Zion. But the latter, or the affection of truth, constitutes the spiritual church, and is called in the word the daughter of Jerusalem. As in Isaiah, "The virgin daughter of Zion hath despised thee, hath mocked at thee. After thee hath the daughter of Jerusalem shaken her head." 37:22, Second Book of Kings 19:21. In Jeremiah, "What shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee and comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion?" Lamentations 2:13. In Micah, "Thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, even to thee shall it come. And the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem." 4, verse 8. In Zephaniah, "Shout, O daughter of Zion, make a loud noise, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." 3, verse 14. In Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Make a loud noise, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king shall come unto thee." 9, verse 9. Matthew 21, verse 5. John 12, verse 15. That the celestial church, or the Lord's celestial kingdom, is called the daughter of Zion from the affection of good, that is, from love to the Lord himself, may be seen further in Isaiah 10, verse 32, 16, verse 1, 52, verse 2, 42, verse 11, Jeremiah 4, verse 31, 6, verses 2 and 23, Lamentations 1, verse 6, 2, verses 1, 4, 8, and 10, Micah 4, verses 10 and 13, Zechariah 2, verse 14, Psalm 9, verse 14. And that the spiritual church, or the Lord's spiritual kingdom, is called the daughter of Jerusalem from the affection of truth, and thus from charity toward the neighbor, may be seen in Jeremiah, Lamentations 2, verse 15. Both of these churches and their characteristics have been treated of many times in part first. From the fact that the celestial church is from love to the Lord in love toward the neighbor, it is likened especially to an unmarried daughter or virgin, and indeed is also called a virgin, as in John. These are they who have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, for they are without spot before the throne of God. Revelation 14, verses 4 and 5. That this might be represented in the Jewish church also, it was enjoined upon the priests that they should not take widows, but virgins for wives. Leviticus 21, verses 13 to 15, Ezekiel 44, verse 22. From the things contained in this verse, it can be seen how pure is the word in the internal sense, although it may not so appear in the letter, for when these words are read, "Behold, I pray, I have two daughters who have not known man. Let me, I pray, bring them out unto you, and ye may do unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do not anything." Nothing but what is impure enters the ideas, especially the ideas of those who are in a life of evil. And yet how chaste these words are in the internal sense is manifest from the explication, by which it is shown that they signify the affections of good and of truth, and the blessedness which they who do no violence to the Lord's divine and holy perceive from the enjoyment of them. Let me, I pray, bring them out unto you. That this signifies blessedness therefrom, that is, from the affections of good and of truth, is evident from the sense of these words when they are predicated of the affections which are here meant by the daughters. As regards the thing itself, namely, that there is blessedness and happiness solely in the affection of good and of truth, it is a matter profoundly unknown to all who are in evil and its delight. To them, the blessedness in the affection of good and of truth appears either as something that is non-existent or as something that is sad, while to some it appears as what is painful and even deadly. This is the case with the genii and the spirits of hell, who think and believe that of the delight of the love of self and of the world, consequently of the evils therein originating, were taken away from them, nothing of life could remain to them. And when they are shown that true life with its blessedness and happiness then begins, they feel a kind of sadness from the loss of their own delight. And when they are brought among those who are in such a life, pain and torture seize upon them. And besides this, they then begin to feel in themselves something that is cadaverous and direfully infernal, so that they call heaven, which is the abode of this blessedness and happiness, their hell, and flee away, in order so far as possible to remove and hide themselves from the Lord's face. That nevertheless all blessedness and happiness consist in the affection of the good which is of love and charity, and also of the truth which is of faith, in so far as the latter leads to the former, can be seen from the fact that heaven, that is, angelic life, consists in this blessedness, and that it affects from the inmosts those who receive it, because it flows in through the inmosts from the Lord. See number 540, 541, 545. Then also do wisdom and intelligence enter into and fill the inmost recesses of the mind, and kindle the good with celestial flame and the truth with celestial light. And this with a perception of blessedness and happiness, of which no description can be given, except that they are unutterable. They who are in this state perceive how dead, how sad, and how lamentable is the life of those who are in the evils of the love of self and of the world. In order to obtain a clear idea of the nature of this life of the love of self and of the world, or what is the same, of a life of pride, avarice, envy, hatred, revenge, unmercifulness, adultery, let any person of talent make for himself an impersonation of some one of these evils, or, if he can, let him paint it before his eyes in accordance with the ideas he is able to conceive of it, from experience, knowledge, scientia, and reason, and he will then see, in proportion to the energy of his description or picture, how horrible these evils are, and that they are diabolical forms in which there is nothing human. Forms such as these do all those become after death who perceive the delight of their life in such evils, and the greater is their delight in them, the more horrible are their own forms. On the other hand, let the same person delineate for himself an impersonation of love and charity, or let him express it before his eyes under some form, and then in proportion to his power of description or portrayal, he will see that the form is angelic, full of bliss and beauty, and pervaded within with what is celestial and divine. Can anyone believe that these two forms can abide together, or that the diabolical form can be put off and be transmuted into the form of charity, and this by a faith to which the life is contrary? For after death, everyone's life remains, or what is the same, his affection. And in accordance with this is then all his thought, and consequently his faith, which thus manifests itself as it had been at heart. And ye may do unto them as is good in your eyes. That this signifies enjoyment, in so far as they perceived it to be from good, can be seen even from the sense of the words, as well as from the series, when these words are predicated of the affections signified by the daughters. That Lot applied himself prudently is signified by his going out unto them to the door, number 2356. This prudence is evident from the words just quoted, together with what else is contained in this verse, namely, that they should enjoy the blessedness of the affections of good and of truth, in so far as this was from good, which is signified by their doing unto them as was good in their eyes. To enjoy in so far as this was from good, here means in so far as they knew it to be good, beyond which no one is required to go. For all are bent by the Lord to the good of life through the good of their faith. Thus Gentiles, otherwise than Christians, the simple, otherwise than the learned, little children, otherwise than adults. They who have imbued their life with evil are bent by abstaining from evil and intending good, and by doing this according to their apprehension. It is their intention or end that is regarded, and although their acts may not be good in themselves, they nevertheless derive from the end something of good, and of the derivative life, which makes their blessedness. 2365. Only unto these men do not anything. That this signifies that they should not do violence to the Lord's divine, human, and holy proceeding is evident from the signification of the men and the angels, as above. 2366. For therefore are they come under the shadow of my roof. That this signifies that they are in the good of charity is evident from the signification of a house as being good. Number 710, 2233, 2234, which is here called the shadow of the roof, for a reason to be presently explained. 2367. As to the shadow of the roof, denoting in an obscure general perception, the case is this. With man, even when regenerate, the perception of good and truth is very obscure, and this is still more the case with a man who is in external worship, such as is here represented by Lot. While a man is in corporeal things, that is, while he is living in the body, the affections, like the perceptions, are of a very general nature, and consequently are very obscure, no matter how much the man may suppose that such is not the case. There are myriads of particulars in every little affection, and even in every idea of his perception, that appear to him as all one, as of the Lord's divine mercy will be shown hereafter, when affections and ideas are treated of. Sometimes it is possible for a man, by reflection, to explore and describe a few of the things that are in him, but there lie hidden innumerable other things, things without limit or measure, that never come to his cognition, nor can come so long as he is living in the body, but which become manifest after corporeal and worldly things have been abolished, as may be sufficiently evident from the fact that when a man who has been in the good of love and of charity passes into the other life, he passes from an obscure life into a clearer one, as from a kind of night into day. And in proportion as he passes into the Lord's heaven, in the same proportion does he pass into a light that is more and more clear, until he arrives at the light in which are the angels, a light of intelligence and wisdom that is unutterable. In comparison with this light in which is man, is darkness. Hence it is here said that they came under the shadow of his roof, by which is signified that those signified by Lot are in their obscure general perception, that is, that they know but little concerning the Lord's divine and holy, but that nevertheless they acknowledge and have faith in the existence of these, and that these are in the good of charity, that is, present with those who are in this good. 2368, verse 9. And they said, Come on. And they said, Is one come to sojourn, and shall he judge indeed? Now will we do worse to thee than to them. And they pressed upon the man, upon Lot, exceedingly, and drew near to break open the door. And they said, signifies a reply from anger. Come on, signifies the threats of their anger. And they said, Is one come to sojourn? Signifies those who are of another doctrine and another life. And shall he judge indeed? Signifies, shall they teach us? Now will we do worse to thee than to them? Signifies that they would reject the good of charity more than the Lord's divine, human, and holy proceeding. And they pressed upon the man. Signifies that they desired to offer violence to truth. Upon Lot exceedingly. Signifies most especially to the good of charity. And drew near to break open the door. Signifies that they came even to the endeavor to destroy both. 2369. And they said, That this signifies a reply from anger is evident from what precedes and what follows, and thus without explication. 2370. Come on. That this signifies threats of anger, namely against the good of charity, is evident from the signification of Lot as being the good of charity, to which and concerning which these things are said. And that these are threats of anger is evident from the words themselves, and also from what follows, as involving that they would altogether reject it if he should say anything more about it, and should persuade, which is meant by, Come on. 2371. And they said, Is one come to sojourn, and shall he judge indeed? That this signifies those who are in another doctrine and another life is evident from the signification of sojourning, which is to be instructed and to live, thus doctrine and life. See number 1463, 2025. The state of the church is here described, such as it is near the last times, when there is no longer any faith, because there is no charity. Namely, that the good of charity, because it has altogether receded from the life, is also rejected from the doctrine. The subject here treated of is not those who falsify the good of charity by explaining all things in their own favor, both for their own sake, that they may be the greatest, and for the sake of the good things of this world, that they may possess them all, and to arrogate to themselves the dispensation of rewards, and thereby defile the good of charity by various arts and delusive means. But the subject treated of is those who desire to hear nothing of the goods of charity or of good works, but only of faith separate from them. And this from reasoning that there is nothing but evil in man, and that the good which is from him is also in itself evil, in which therefore there is thus nothing of salvation, and that no one can merit heaven by any good, nor be saved by it, but only by the faith with which they acknowledge the Lord's merit. This is the doctrine that flourishes in the last times, when the church is beginning to expire, and it is ardently taught and favorably received. But it is false to infer from these considerations that a man can have an evil life and a good faith, or that because there is nothing but evil in man, he cannot receive good from the Lord that has heaven in it, because it has him in it, and that having heaven in it has also blessed happiness in it. And it is certainly very false to infer that because no one can merit heaven by any good, therefore it is impossible to receive from the Lord celestial good, in which self-merit is regarded as monstrous wickedness. In such good are all the angels, in such are all the regenerate, And in such are they who perceive delight and even bliss in good itself, that is, in the affection of it. Concerning this good, that is, concerning this charity, the Lord speaks thus in Matthew. Ye have heard that it has been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that injure you and persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in the heavens. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? 5:43-48. In like manner in Luke, with this addition, Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Then shall your reward be great, and ye shall be sons of the highest. 6:27-36. Here the good which is from the Lord is described, and that it is free from all purpose of receiving recompense, on which account they who are in it are called the sons of the Father who is in the heavens, and sons of the highest. And because the Lord is in it, there is also a reward, as we read in Luke. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest haply they call thee in turn, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Then shalt thou be blessed, for they have not wherewith to recompense thee. But thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. 14:12-14. A dinner, supper, or feast denotes the good of charity, in which there is the Lord's dwelling place with man. 23:41. So that it is here described and made clearly manifest that the recompense is in the good itself, because in this is the Lord. For it is said, Thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Those who strive to do good of themselves, because the Lord has so commanded, are they who at length receive this good, and who, being afterwards instructed, acknowledge with faith that all good is from the Lord. 17:12, 1937, 1947. And they are then so averse to self-merit that when they merely think of it, they grow sad, and perceive their blessedness and happiness to be proportionately diminished. Quite different is it with those who do not do this, but lead a life of evil, teaching and professing that in faith alone there is salvation. People of this character are not aware that such a good is possible, and, wonderful to say, as has been given me to know from much experience, in the other life these same people desire to merit heaven on account of whatever good deeds they recollect, because then for the first time are they aware that in faith separated from charity there is no salvation. These are the people of whom the Lord says in Matthew, They will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many mighty works? But then will I confess unto them, I know you not, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 7:22-23. In the case of these same people, it also becomes apparent that they have paid no attention whatever to the things which the Lord himself so often taught concerning the good of love and of charity, but that these things have been to them like passing clouds, or like things seen in the night. For example, such things as are found in Matthew 3, verses 8 and 9, 5, verses 7 to 48, 6, verses 1 to 20, 7, verses 16 to 20, 24 to 27, 9, verse 13, 12, verse 33, 13, verses 8 and 23, 18, verses 21 to 23, and to the end, 19, verse 19, 22, verses 34 to 39, 24, verses 12 and 13, 25, verses 34 to the end, Mark 4, verses 18 to 20, 11, verses 13, 14, and 20, 12, verses 28 to 35, Luke 3, verses 8 and 9, 6, verses 27 to 39, 43 to the end, 7, verse 47, 8, verses 8, 14, and 15, 10, verses 25 to 28, 12, verses 58 and 59, 13, verses 6 to 10. John 3, verses 19 and 21. 5, verse 42. 13, verses 34 and 35. 14, verses 14, 15, 20, 21, 23. 15, verses 1 to 8, 9 to 19. 21, verses 15 to 17. Such, then, and other such things as these, are what are signified by the men of Sodom, that is, those who are in evil, number 22:20, 22:46, 23:22, saying to Lot, Is one come to sojourn, and shall he judge indeed? That is, shall they who are in another doctrine and another life teach us? 2372. And shall he judge indeed? That this signifies, shall they teach us, is evident from the signification of judging as being to teach. That justice is predicated of the practice of good, but judgment of the instruction of truth, was shown above, number 2235. Hence, in the internal sense, to judge is to instruct or teach. To teach truth is the same as to teach what is good, because all truth looks to good. 2373. Now will we do worse to thee than to them. That this signifies that they would reject the good of charity more than the Lord's divine, human, and holy proceeding is evident from the signification of Lot as being the good of charity, for Lot represents those who are in the good of charity. Number 2324, 2351, 2371. And from the signification of the men or angels as being the Lord as to the divine, human, and holy proceeding, see above. Hence it is evident that to do worse to thee than to them has this meaning. The reason why they who are in evil within the church reject charity more than they deny the Lord is that in this way they can favor their concupiscences by a kind of religion, and have external worship with no internal, that is, worship of the lips and not of the heart. And the more they make this worship to be divine and holy, so much the greater are their dignities and wealth, besides many other causes that are hidden and yet are manifest. Nevertheless, the truth really is that he who rejects the one, that is, does so in doctrine and at the same time in life, rejects also the other, for even if he dare not do this openly, he does it in his heart. And this is here expressed in the sense of the letter by its being said, that the men of Sodom drew near to break open the door. by which is signified that they came even to the endeavor to destroy both. But that which prevents this endeavor from bursting forth into act is by no means hidden. Two, three, seven, four. They pressed upon the man. That this signifies that they desired to offer violence to truth is evident from the signification of a man, Vir, as being the intellectual and rational in man, and consequently truth. See number 158, 1007. To offer violence to truth is to pervert the things of faith, and these are perverted when they are separated from charity, and when it is denied that they lead to the good of life. 2375. Upon Lot exceedingly. That this signifies that they desired to offer violence, especially to the good of charity, is evident from the signification of Lot as being the good of charity. See above number 2324, 2351, 2371, 2373. From the very words that they pressed upon the man, upon Lot exceedingly, it is evident that one thing is signified by the man and another by Lot exceedingly. Otherwise, one expression would have sufficed. 2376. And drew near to break open the door. That this signifies that they came even to the endeavor to destroy both is evident from the signification of drawing near as being to endeavor, and from the signification of a door as being that which introduces to good and to the Lord, and also as being good itself and the Lord himself. Number 2356, 2357. How this is may be seen above, number 2373. 2377, verse 10. And the men put forth their hand, and brought Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. The men put forth their hand, signifies the Lord's powerful aid, and brought Lot into the house to them, signifies that the Lord protects those who are in the good of charity, and shut the door, signifies that he also closes all access to them. 2378. The men put forth their hand. That this signifies the Lord's powerful aid is evident from the signification of the men as being the Lord, as shown above, and from the signification of the hand as being power. See number 878. 2379. And brought Lot into the house to them. That this signifies that the Lord protects those who are in the good of charity is evident from the representation of Lot as being those who are in the good of charity, spoken of above, and from the signification of bringing into the house to them as being to protect. To be brought into the house denotes to be brought into good, and they who are brought into good are brought into heaven, and they who are brought into heaven are brought to the Lord. Hence they are protected from all infestation as to their souls. That the man who is in good is as to his soul in society with angels, and while living in the body is nevertheless in heaven, although at the time he is not aware of this, and is not able to perceive angelic joy in consequence of being in corporeal things and in a state of preparation, may be seen above, number 1277. 2380. And shut the door. that this signifies that he also closes all access to them. It is evident from the signification of a door as being that which introduces, number 2356, 2357, 2376, thus access. Hence it is that to shut the door denotes to preclude access. In the other life, access is precluded by the good being separated from the evil, so that they cannot be infested by the spheres of the persuasions of falsity and of the cupidities of evil. For the exhalation from hell cannot penetrate to heaven. In the life of the body, access is precluded by the principles and persuasions of falsity being rendered powerless against those who are in good. For whenever any falsity of evil or evil of falsity is infused into them, whether in speech by an evil man or in thought by an evil spirit or devil, the angels who are with them at once turn it aside and bend it to something true and good in which the persons in question have been confirmed. And this, however severely infested as to the body, for the angels esteem the body as nothing in comparison with the soul. While a man remains in corporeal things, he is in such a general and obscure idea and perception, see number 2367, that he scarcely knows whether he is in the good of charity or not, and this for the additional reason that he does not know what charity is and what the neighbor is. But be it known who the persons in question are. All those are in the good of charity who have conscience, that is, who are unwilling to depart in any degree from what is just and fair, and good and true, and this for the very sake of what is just and fair, and good and true, for this principle is from conscience, and who, from having conscience, think well of the neighbor, and desire his welfare, even should he be an enemy, and this without any recompense. These are they who are in the good of charity, whether they be without the church or within the church. If within the church, they adore the Lord, and willingly hear and do the things that he has taught. On the other hand, they who are in evil have no conscience, for that which is just and fair they care not, except in so far as thereby they can gain the reputation of seeming to care for it. What the good and truth are that affect the spiritual life, they know not, and even reject this as being no life at all. Further than this, they think evilly about the neighbor, and desire his injury, and also inflict injury upon him if he does not favor them, even if a friend. And in doing this, they feel delight. Should they do anything good, it is with a view to recompense. Such within the church deny the Lord in secret, and in so far as honor, gain, reputation, or life are not endangered, they do so openly. Be it known, however, that some persons think that they are not in good when they are, and some that they are in good when they are not. The reason why some think that they are not in good when they are is that when they reflect upon the good in themselves, it is at once insinuated by the angels in whose society they are that they are not in good, lest they should attribute the good to themselves, and lest their thought should be turned to their own merit, and thereby to the setting up of themselves above others. Without this guardianship, they would fall into temptations. As regards some supposing themselves to be in good when they are not, the cause of this is that when they reflect upon it, it is immediately insinuated by the evil genii and spirits in whose companionship they are, that they are in good, for the evil believe delight to be good. And it is suggested that whatever good they have done to others for the sake of the love of self and of the world is good that is to be recompensed even in the other life, thus that they have merit above others, whom they despise in comparison with themselves, and indeed esteem them as of no account. And, wonderful to say, if they were to think differently, they would fall into temptations in which they would yield.